Let us turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to 30, and 36 to 43, the parable of the wheat and the tares. Matthew 13, 24 to 30, 36 to 43. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Tares are imitation wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while we gather up the tares, we root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then following verse 31 to 35 are two more parables, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. And then we come to 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Take note, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of the Father. Who hath ears to hear, let them hear. You take note that there is a gap of the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven. And then the account comes back to the parable of the wheat and the tares. The wheat is a good seed that represents the word of God. In the earlier parable of the sower, the seed is the word of God. But here, in parables, it doesn't work like mathematics. It doesn't work like technical language. The seed of the wheat is the children of God. And the imitation wheat, the tares, are the children of the wicked one, that is of Satan. At the end of the world will be the account. And so the Lord says, this is the situation in the world. The field is a world. This world is contaminated by sin. And so those who are the children of God become the children of Satan. And immediately we are reminded of what happened in the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve. Very good. In His image. Truly they are the children of God. Now Satan comes along to sow tares, to sow lies in the heart of Eve. And Eve, being taken by Satan, succumbed to his words of evil and believed Satan rather than God. As you know, she gave the forbidden fruit to Adam, and both husband and wife ate, and immediately they were not children of God anymore, but children of Satan. And then from them came down two lines of children. One line, the godly line, called the line of Seth. The other line, the wicked line, is the line of Cain. Should now God destroy Cain? He allowed Cain to exist, and he also founded the city. Because if he destroyed Satan, if he destroyed Cain, then the line of Seth would also be hurt. And so, the two lines, the godly line and the wicked line, they existed together like the wheat and the tares, who will be judged only at the end of the world. Yes, indeed, we are a godly people. We are supposed to be a godly people. But we are also living in the world. And the world is full of sin, and we constantly come into contact with them. But it is important for us how we deal with the world. Take, for example, a simple place like a coffee shop. You go there to drink coffee, to have some makan. But there are also those offensive things that you should not take, like beer and alcoholic drinks, cigarettes, and a lot of hidden wicked things that they sell also. Take the case of the TV. It is impossible but that we have to have a TV set in our home, for reasons of information and so forth. But I thank God for Singapore that our TV is still quite proper. Though it is commended that with sin and wickedness also. But if they go to America, by 11 o'clock or so, the blue films will come out. We say that is for the adults. A Christian must therefore keep himself pure. One area of life that is very important, that is very touchy, is the area of religions. Democratic countries, knowing the very significant and very touchy situation of religions have given the freedom of religion. But communist governments, many of these communist governments are totalitarian. And so they persecute the house churches, the underground churches. But for the sake of faith, for the sake of their reputation, they still have to allow the established churches to carry on, such as in China. And in Vietnam also, the house churches are put underground, but the established churches, they have to recognize. And so, during the last 7 years, we were able to absorb quite a number of Vietnamese students, and the first two to graduate are Minh and Kiet, as I've mentioned. And so, with their training here, 1 5 years and 1 4 years, they will return to their church, and the communists cannot forbid them to preach in their own churches. This is also the power of God, while He allows the test to go on. He also has the influence of the children of God, the wheat, to grow side by side to counteract. Recently, I went to Kelapa Sabit to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the church. And it was a very great affair, and we had a full celebration and praise of God for the growth of this mission church during the last 50 years. There was no one to come and resist us. But if there were, as you know, in Malaysia there are some of the extremists. And this we have experienced in Rompin, that is not far away from Mersing, when one of our branch churches wanted to start a new building. And they put up a cross. The Malays came and they had the cross removed. Nevertheless, we are protected by law. And so we are not afraid. And we thank God for Malaysia that in many of the Chinese areas, they simply don't bother us. And so that is a situation of the wheat and the pears going side by side. But take note that in the interpretation of the parable, Jesus says, the field is the world. The field is not the church. The field is the world. But now we come to the situation in the church. Can the church allow the tares to be sown in? The church is the family of God, and it is in the fullness of control of God because it is separated from the world. It is the family of God. Let us now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to the end. 14 to 18. Let me read. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial means good for nothing, and it is a name for Satan. Or what part hath he the believer to an infidel? Infidel is a stronger term than unbeliever. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Thank God our church hasn't got any images. The church with images that are none other than idols would be a contaminated church. And it goes on in Revelation to say that there are some churches that have degenerated to synagogues of Satan. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It is a completely clean and pure place. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. When the church becomes a synagogue of Satan, and it has idols inside, and unbelievers, infidels, unrighteousness, and the whole host of them, we must get out, come out from among them, and be not equally yoked with the unbelievers. Insofar as Protestant churches are concerned, who are the infidels, unbelievers? Those are called Belial of Satan. Particularly in the 1930s, in America. The church had become so overwhelmed by modernists and liberals. We put them together, modernists and liberals. And there was a great battle for the fundamental truth, for the Bible-believing faith. And God raised up a professor by the name of J. Gresham Machen. And he fought them until he lost the battle in 1929 in the seminary in which he was professor. And this is the most significant statement he made of those who pretend to be Christians, liberal Christians, modernist Christians. He declared then that liberalism and modernism is not Christianity at all, but it is another religion, totally different. And that's why the church, as it is today, we have come to a very great climax of apostasy, that there are so many churches in the world, many churches that are dying week by week. And one church in Australia that we have bought over, a Presbyterian church, the membership had dwindled to just on the fingers of your hand, not even 10. So they have to join up with other modernist churches that have dwindled, and they call it the Uniting Church. It sounds very good, Uniting Church, but uniting because without uniting, they are all gone. Churches are sold to be foundries, furniture store, Pizza Hut, restaurants in which alcoholic drinks are being sold. That is the great sadness. After Machen died, his disciple, Dr. Carl McIntyre, that you have read of him lately in the weekly, because the Lord has promoted him to glory at the age of 95. I happened to arrive in the very height of the controversy in America in 1948. And one wintry morning, January, a very distinguished gentleman in his early 40s spoke about the need of another Reformation. The 16th century Reformation was by Martin Luther to get out of the Roman Catholic Church for its total blindness and for its preaching a false doctrine. The Roman Catholics today still preach this doctrine: the just shall live by faith plus works, and you have got to contribute your works to go to heaven. But Martin Luther discovered the truth: the just shall live by faith only. If you have faith, you must have a living faith, of course. But the ground of your salvation is your faith in God. And so, he said we need a 20th century Reformation. And he challenged us young people to join his Reformation. And at that time, the modernists and the fundamentalists were going to organize in the city of Amsterdam, 1948. The modernists and liberals into the World Council of Churches with the view of gathering all churches, Protestant, to go back to Rome. This is called the Ecumenical Movement. But Dr. McIntyre was to form an international council of Christian churches to keep Protestant churches from sliding back to Rome and to continue the preaching of the truth. I was totally gripped by his message. My heart immediately was knit to his heart, by Jonathan's heart to David's. And so I was full of fire. And I got my good friend Reverend Kwek Hyok Chiang of Faith Church BP to join the movement, and he was none the less in his zeal. And so he attended the ICC Congress, and I also. And when we returned to Singapore, we were like two young bullocks not knowing the tiger. We took a challenge without compromise against the established church. And you know, in those days we were still under the missionaries. We were a colonial church. We were expatriate missionaries, churchmen, and interestingly, our Presbyterian church headquarters of the modernists and the Englishmen is next door, Morimasa Garden. And down there is Soon Peng Yam's house. But before Soon Peng Yam came, it was the English Presbyterian Church Mission headquarters. And then suddenly we discovered that Dr. Gibson, one of the leading missionaries, wrote the book that there is no hell. Another of the Presbyterian leaders overloading us was Dr. Fleming. And he denied the virgin birth. And the third one, George Hollister, he was in China but withdrawn to Southeast Asia. And they wrote a book that sins were forgiven before Jesus Christ came. Therefore, without Jesus Christ, our sins can be forgiven. So when we began to expose them, they had no answer. And so we wanted our mother church, Life Church Semiatung, Prinsep Street, to come out of the synod. But we are not able to do that because their strength was so strong. In other words, since we could not withdraw our mother church out of the synod, we ourselves withdrew and led the Life Church English service. In 1955, became known as Life Bible Presbyterian Church. That's how our new denomination has grown. And we became a pure church without the leadership and headship of these modernist missionaries. Of course, they were good ones, not at all, but the heads, the bosses, were all liberals and modernists who are declared by Dr. Nathan to be not Christianity at all, but a totally different religion. Now the Bible here says, come out from among them, and God will just leave us alone? No. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. I will take good care of you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. When you're out there in the synagogue of Satan, you are joined up with the sons of Satan. You're tares. Imitation wheat, when they come out pure, you are the children of God. And he will be very good to you. When I first became a pastor, I was riding a bicycle. A racing bicycle. I could race around everywhere to visit the members. But the Lord took good care of us, of me, and our whole church. I will not go into the details, but to show how he has blessed us with this church property and all the other properties so valuable that he has showered upon us. We were in Prinsep Street, worshipping in the afternoon of a mother church, but we needed a place very evidently because the church began to grow. There were 22 applicants for this piece of land, including some other churches. In those days, it was not by tender. You apply and the government will select which one is most deserving. Well, we prayed very hard, O Lord, give us this place. There are the other churches that also prayed very hard, O Lord, give us this place. But we become the closer sons and daughters because of our stand for the faith. And so it's awarded to us. This piece of land was cut into two and family planning outside. $1.20 a square foot. $1 here. And we said this side is more away from the road and it is quieter. And they awarded to us. We paid $25,000 odd for the down payment, and 4% per year. Quit rent is $1,036, and that's for a 99-year lease. Then, in 1979, the Lord led us to buy the land in Woodlands, and we beat the competitor, the Roman Catholic Church. We got that piece of land and they built it for all together in land, 3 million. And then the time came, 1989-90. There was an offer to buy opposite, build a house. We got it for 6.95 million plus all the other expenses to 7.15 million. And now, suddenly out of the blue, fell down a beautiful resort costing Singapore 2.71 million, our Mersing Resort, which at least 20 to 30 churches are using. And they all declare, this is our place. This is a many BP churches come. And finally now we are going to build the new builder house. And I've assured the leaders of our church that you do not worry that there will be lack of money. I said, there will be no lack of money. As things develop, God will move His children, loving hearts, to give out of their heart that that's enough. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. So, we really thank God that He likes to have a pure church. A church that preaches the truth, the gospel. A church that wins souls. A church that will care for the spiritual needs of the members as well as even the physical needs as much as possible. And so, Paul tells Titus that it is very important for us to keep the pure church, just as he told the Corinthians, to get out from the church of synagogue and to establish a Bible-believing church. The safety of this church to continue as we have been worshipping here for 52 years, 12 years in Prinsep Street, the rest here, is in the solidarity of the elders. The elders are the guard, the pulpit of this church. And so to Titus he said, an elder must be able, by sound doctrine, both exhort and to convince the gainsayers, whose mouth must be stopped. Did you notice that there are seven times more injunctions, commands to guard the church than to give the Great Commission to go into all the world? Seven times. Jesus, in both the Sermon on the Mount and in the Olivet Discourse, exposed the false Christ and false prophets. The whole Epistle of Jude is for the earnest contention of the faith, and we have Peter warning about false teachers, John warning about false spirits. Galatians, Paul puts a curse on anyone who preaches another gospel. Corinthians here, get out from them. And practically every epistle has the warning against false teachers. One of my great concerns is the pulpit of the Life Church, that we must watch all the time against any infiltration of Satan in a subtle way. Not only modernists and also the liberals, but we do not know how Satan, that the monkey god, he can change 72 times. He will disguise in another way. And now it is about the Bible. They are all using the NIV. Even some baby churches have gone astray. But West Penn Hall, the NIV, follows these two great scholars who were worshippers of Mary, friends of Darwin and Freud, and they themselves denied every fundamental of the faith. That is the NIV. So, even in fundamental churches, they are using NIV, we have to tell them that they are wrong. For the elders, who must be able to exhort and to convince these gainsayers and have their mouths stopped. Finally, in a world which is contaminated by sin, we cannot help but good and bad will exist together, even in a coffee shop or whether in the TV. But in the church, it must not be tolerated. It must be a pure church in life and doctrine. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that You have made us to be Thy children. Help us to be like the good seed, the wheat, and help us not to fall into the trap of Satan and become tares. So we pray Thee to keep our church pure and preaching the word till Jesus comes again. Bless Thy children who hear and believe. In Jesus' name, Amen.